Welcome to episode 352 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard.
And I'm your host, Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. We skipped a week.
We did, without really telling anybody that we were going to skip a week.
That was my fault. Sorry.
Yeah, it was your fault.
But scheduling challenges.
If you really missed hearing Richard and I talk to each other last week, well, you're not going to have to wait long, because we missed last week because we were recording an episode of Home On together.
Yep.
So you'll get to hear that soon.
More any minute now.
All right. Well, we have a bunch of listener feedback to get through tonight, since, you know, we haven't recorded in 2 weeks. So these were all sent into our inbox at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. Richard, how about you take this first one?
The first message is from Carl, and he says he has some quick feedback for episode 351, which was the last one. On the Rovi Guide issue with college football listings, I don't believe the problem with the teams to be announced listings is due to Rovi not having the right data, but rather with an issue with MCE guide updates. For a while, there was the same issue with the nightly talk shows only showing generic info and not updating the guest listings, but Microsoft corrected that. They haven't done the same for college football. The season is over now, so who knows if it'll be corrected by next year. There's a good discussion on the topic on the Green Button forum, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes. If you were to do a full guide reset and refresh using the Object Store Recovery Task method, whatever that is, you'd get the correct listing for that week, but the following week will remain TBA until another reset refresh. Manual guide update doesn't work for those listings. Well, geez, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's terrible. And Carl, thank you for sending this in. Thank you especially for this link. But this is essentially what we were talking about last time, because what I was talking about on episode 351 was they both, and both being Media Center and Xbox One, get their data from the same place. They both get it from Rovi. But on Media Center, it's terrible. And on Xbox One, it's not, or at least it's less terrible. So, yeah. I mean, we kind of knew that it was more of a Media Center issue than the guide data itself issue. My fix is just to go to the website for the previous guide data provider being zapped to it.
Yep, yep. Then he has a comment about DLNA server files. He says, you guys are right that typically DLNA servers don't do a good job of listing videos and music in an intuitive way. I found, however, that the MB DLNA server does a really good job, especially laying out music, movies, TV shows, etc., pretty much exactly how it'd be if you were using an app. They even all have the right covers. MB is a great alternative to Plex. Interesting. I haven't even tried MB, have you?
I have, but it's been a while. It was probably at least 3 or 4 or 5 months ago. And frankly, the main reason that I haven't really gone back to it and given it more of a chance is there isn't an Xbox One app. And I'm trying to get as much of my content through my Xbox One as possible. I'm sure the PC app is great, and they've got mobile apps on the Windows platforms, which are really good too, but that's not what I'm looking for. So hopefully they'll be able to release their own Xbox One app someday, and that will interest me more. But, you know, from everything that I've read, and I do follow their news and stuff, MB is a really good solution. I mean, it's just the latest version of Media Browser, that tool that we talked, I mean, we used to talk about that all the time on this podcast when it was a Media Center plugin. So we love those guys. We love what they make. It's just not what I'm currently using right now.
All right. Well, our next message is from David, and he says, hello and good day. Just a follow-up to my Plex experience. My file nomenclature is similar to Richard's. Aha!
Yeah, whatever.
You said, you and other writers said that I was using an unconventional form. Whatever.
Well, having one person say that he uses the same format as you doesn't make it a convention.
Oh, I think it does.
I don't think so.
After no success with Plex in the TV category, I tried using the home movie category. Everything worked perfectly. No skip sessions, artwork retained, etc. While this isn't a perfect solution, and I don't know why one category works and the other does not, at this time, it does what I need it to. Excellent.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? As long as it's working for you, then cool, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Unless that also means that when you go looking for your TV content, it falls under home movies, and that might be confusing to other people in your home. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe David's the only one using it in his household, but I mean, that does seem a little fluky, and I would still look at the Plex forums to try and get a real fix to that. But I guess at least it is working.
Yep.
All right. So we got a couple of more messages, and these ones were really great, but also really long. So I'm going to try to cut these down a little bit, try to focus on the more relevant points here. This first one, I'm probably not going to pronounce this right. I'm going to take a stab at it and say Kisian as the name. You like that? Good?
Sure.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry if I'm butchering your name. He says, over the last couple of weeks, I heard you talk about obtaining a Windows 7 license. One way to get such a license is buying a Windows 10 Pro license and downgrading to Windows 7 Pro, which includes Media Center. With Windows 10 Pro or 8 Pro, you get downgrade rights. It says so in the Windows 10 Pro license. And he actually copy and pasted that license information right into the email. But then comes the problem of, okay, so you can legally do this, but how are you going to install it if all you've got is a Windows 10 install? And he provides a couple of links. He said, you might be able to just go to this Microsoft download site, put in your product key, and get it. He hasn't tried it, so he doesn't know if that works. He also posted to an article by Ed Bott over at ZDNet, where he wrote an article years ago that was called 7 Perfectly Legal Ways to Get Windows 7 Cheap or Even Free. And he recently actually updated that article just in November. I mean, this is, he wrote this article in 2009, you know, the year that Windows 7 came out. But he updated it because it's one of his most popular articles and it's still valuable. So in Ed Bott's article, he lists a lot of potential options for how to get Windows 7 for cheap. So if you're still trying to get Windows 7 to run as a Windows 7 Media Center, here's some options for you and how you can do it legally, which is obviously the way that you should do it.
Of course.
He says, he then continues on, something different. Last week, I went to Microsoft Accelerate, a Microsoft hands-on event, to bring you up to speed on Windows 10 development using Visual Studio 2015. The documentation used at this event is available through GitHub at a link, and I'll provide that link in the show notes also. As both of you are developers, you might find this interesting. Yes, we are developers. I do find this interesting. It's maybe not the most relevant to the show, but I know we've got a lot of developers listening. So here's a link to the Windows 10 development hands-on labs, which are really nice to have if you're just trying to get up to speed on Windows 10 development. Then he says, and finally, a Windows Phone 8.1 and 10 mobile tip. If you have your Blu-rays ripped in MKV format and you want to view them on your phone, use an app called MKV to MP4. This utility copies the video and converts the surround sound to stereo AAC. It saves a lot of time converting the MKV compared to other utilities. In the past, I used this utility for my Xbox 360, and it should also work for iDevices. So I don't have any experience with this particular app, Richard, and I'm betting you don't either, but it sounds like what it does is it just takes the video stream, doesn't change it at all, puts it in an MP4 container, and then also does actually convert the audio to a more common format that's going to be more supported.
Right.
That's totally cool, but it won't necessarily, if that's all it does, you can't guarantee that that's going to work, because remembering that MKV and MP4 are containers, containers being something that hold things, in this case, hold a video stream and an audio stream. It could be that your MKV is holding a video stream that still won't be supported on your phone, even if it's in a different container that is supported, because there's two levels of things there that need to be supported, the container format and the streams format. So give this a try. If it works for you, great, because it will be really, really fast, because what always takes a long time is when the video streams in these conversion apps have to actually be converted, like actually going in and changing the compression algorithm of the video stream. That takes a really long time. That's not what this app is doing. It's just swapping it to another container and then doing a quick actual conversion on the audio stream, but audio data is much, much smaller. That happens really quickly. I'm betting that this app can crank through a whole movie in just a couple of minutes. Maybe even less than that if you've got a fast computer. So very, very nice piece of software. If it works for you and if you're in need of something like this, then check it out. Hopefully it'll work out well for you guys.
Cool.
All right. Last email. This is from Gary. This is another really long one. Sorry, Gary. I cut out some of the stuff at the beginning of the email. Jump into the main point of his email, and that is he's finally switching from Windows 7 to Windows 10. He wants to take advantage of the free Windows 10 offers, but Windows 7 Media Center has been holding him back. So he's been going through a lot of different trials to try and figure out a new solution for this computer of his. And what he's kind of settled on is using Windows 10 with Kodi and Next PVR as his Media Center replacement. For a little bit of background, he's in Australia, and we'll actually get into some of those details in a bit. But that does impact this a little bit because, you know, depending on where you are, you get different video sources and that can change what's actually supported. You know, some of these things that he's going to go through here won't work for you if you have a cable card tuner and all of your channels are protected. So just keep that in mind as we go through this. So he's going the Next PVR route, which is home theater PC software that's focused on PVR duties. And we'll actually do the guide and the scheduled recordings and live TV and all of that. And then Kodi is an app like Plex and like Embee that we mentioned earlier. Kodi is just what XBMC used to be called. And Kodi basically will take that Next PVR functionality and wrap it inside of Kodi so that you have Next PVR running in the background for all of your TV stuff, but you're only actually interfacing with Kodi, and Kodi's really pretty and has lots of functionality. So that's why you would do something like this. So he gives us a couple of links for some setup instructions on getting set up with Kodi and with Next PVR and making the two of them work together. He's using a first generation HD Home Run over the air tuner. So we've got the links to those quick starts, and then he says, here's some good things to know if you're going to be doing this. When you run the Next PVR software in Australia, it sees the HD Home Run device that has dual tuners as having a device with two DVB-C tuners and two DVB-T tuners and an IPTV tuner. Wow, I'm tripping over all these letters. It took a while to realize this, and I find that Australia uses DVB-T. But once you realize that, the Next PVR was quickly available as its own TV solution. So for all of those letters jarbled up in there, DVB-T, that's over the air. That's pulling in your signal with an antenna. DVB-C is cable. It's, if you're in the US and you're used to our standards, it's kind of the European, Asian, and Australian equivalent to ClearQuam, and IPTV is internet TV. The HD Home Run doesn't do IPTV, so I'm not sure why it would detect it that way. But anyway, you're looking for DVB-T if you're using an old HD Home Run tuner in Australia or Europe. Second good thing to know, go through all the next PVR settings and change the directory for files from your newly bought small SSD boot drive to your much larger new storage drive. The live TV buffer setting is not where all the other default storage settings are. Yeah, it would be a real pain in the butt to have your live TV buffer right into your tiny little SSD instead of your giant hard drive. good thing to point out there. He says, once having got Next PVR working in a standalone fashion, when you go back into Kodi, it reveals all the TV stations are working in one complete media center replacement solution. And it's good with, and he lists off a whole bunch of bullet points here. It supports multi-format music and video codec compatibility. It supports Windows Media Center remotes. It has a 10-foot interface, control app and streaming app support. It has native fan art and trailer options. DLNA and UPnP are built in. And he says tons of support. And hopefully, when I plug it into my external Blu-ray playback device, that'll work too. So he says, so in conclusion, I will try it and see, but I do recommend Kodi for other Australians like me as a possible cheap solution. So thank you very much for sending in that email, Gary, and sharing all of your experiences and tips with the rest of our listeners. And hopefully it works out really well for you.
That was a lot of feedback. See what happens when we miss a week?
Yeah. It's like people love us and our audience and want to share information with them. It's great. Thanks, guys. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So we've talked a little bit about Plex. We've talked about Kodi. We've talked about MBE. We've talked a little bit about Windows Media Center. Now we're on to our video topics for the night. And the first one is Plex.
Back to Plex.
Yeah, back to Plex. Some really, really great news for Plex users who listen to this show. Plex on the Xbox One, it's finally free. Yay! You don't have to have a Plex Pass subscription to use it on your Xbox One anymore. Tiny little caveat, yeah. You don't need it for any of the other game consoles, but who cares about other game consoles? So, totally free on Xbox One. It went free on Xbox 360 a few months ago. Now, after more than a year of only being available in preview to Plex Pass subscribers, it's now free for everybody. That's great. But Richard, apparently there's some limitations here.
Yeah, so you can't ditch your Plex Pass just yet if you want to take advantage of some of their premium functions. And this is pretty much true in most of their apps, from what I understand. So if you want to use parental controls, if you want access to the Vivo music library, if you want to see trailers, add extensions, stuff like that, for all of that, you still have to have the Plex Pass. And you know, they still make it available. And if you have the Plex Pass, as I understand it, isn't that good on any device?
It is. So the whole way that you get these apps is kind of confusing across all of the platforms. So on Windows, they make an app for both like Windows Store on your PC or tablet and on Windows Phone. And there's two ways that you can pay for those apps. You can basically install it for free, but it's essentially a trial, like it'll only play 1 minute of video and things like that. And then you can either continue to use it, quote unquote, for free if you have a Plex Pass subscription, or if you don't, you have to pay for the app. It's a one-time in-app purchase of $4.99 on both platforms. What I don't know for sure yet is if you buy it on one platform, if you get it on the other one for free, because I'm still a Plex Pass subscriber, so I haven't had to pay the $5. So I don't really know there. They can potentially charge you on both sides or just charge you once, but I don't know what they've chosen to do in this specific case.
Got it.
Now, you mentioned there are other benefits to having a Plex Pass. Like, one of the big ones is they have offline media sync, I think is what they call it, where, say, from your tablet or your phone, you can tell it to download a smaller, more appropriately sized and resolution and all that copy of a video to your phone or your tablet or whatever. That functionality is really great, and it only works if you have Plex Pass. So that's some of the types of things. It's basically all the really advanced stuff requires Plex Pass, which is $5 a month or $70 per year or $150 lifetime. That's what it costs for this stuff. I'm curious, you know, you mentioned these parental controls, Vivo Music, videos, trailers, all that stuff. What I'm wondering is that through channels? Like, are they basically saying that on game consoles, you can only use the channels if you have Plex Pass? Because until tonight, I didn't even realize that the Xbox One supported Plex's channels. And for those of you who don't know what channels are, it's the ability to add other sources to your Plex library. Like, we're used to looking at Plex library as our interface to our ripped movie collection or our music collection or TV shows, all that stuff. And it does all that and it's great. But you can also add these channels, and they've got things like Twit has a channel, SoundCloud, Apple Movie Trailers. These are all channels that you can install on your Plex server and then access from all of your playback devices. I didn't realize that the Xbox One supported this at all. So I installed a few of them before the show to go and mess around with them. And sure enough, it does to some extent. I was able to watch an Apple Movie Trailer, but the Twit one basically just didn't work when I went to watch a video. So not sure what's going on with that. So I think you're...
That's right. You would have just ended up seeing Leo eating lunch anyway.
Probably. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. I'm on the month-to-month Plex Pass plan right now. I'm going to cancel mine and see what it does. What
what goes away.
Right, exactly. Do channels just disappear or what? So, and the parental controls are cool, but they're really just more of a burden to me at this point. I'm not having issues with that in my house, and I get sick of putting in my PIN on my Surface every time I want to use this app. So if that went away, I wouldn't be horribly upset. So we'll report back more on that probably next week.
Yeah, cool. I'm glad to hear that this is available now, and I want to hear more about your experience. So
cool. So I believe it was just last week that we were talking about J River Media Center and their Kickstarter project. They were trying, well, I guess not last week, last episode, which would have been 2 weeks ago, where they're trying to kickstart an add-on to J River Media Center that would support cable card and more specifically copy protected content right inside of J River Media Center.
They're trying.
They set a goal of $100,000, which is about, I think that's the number that HD Home Run DVR started at. And typical, you know, 1 month Kickstarter timeline here on this. Well, they've got 67 hours to go as of us writing this. Again, trying to get 100 grand, they're at $7,281.
Yeah, this is not happening.
I'm really, really bummed to see that this isn't happening. But unfortunately, it's really not that unexpected. I just don't think these guys did a great job of setting up a really enticing Kickstarter campaign. And I think they did a pretty poor job of marketing the thing.
Yeah, I mean, this Kickstarter page is so generic. It doesn't have anything that really draws you in. And I hate to say it, but we talked about this last time. They've been around forever, but I just feel like J River doesn't have the mind share. And if you're kind of an underdog in this space and others are trying to do similar type projects, you know, I bet a lot of people who listen gave to the HD Home Run DVR project. I know I did.
Yeah, I'm sure they did, because that Kickstarter campaign went gangbusters. They went, right. They made way more than they were had initially set for their goal.
Right. And I think as a result of that, you probably end up with people that are like, well, I just gave to something similar. And so now why would I do this with this lesser known company if they even knew about it?
Right. Right. Because as we talked about last time, J River is really well known in the audiophile space, but it's not as well known in the, I just want to run a home theater PC that records my stuff and gives me a nice interface to my movies.
Yeah.
So very sad news to announce. I hope that they still plan to try and do this. Maybe they retool and set up a new Kickstarter campaign. Maybe they just decide to do this anyway, despite the Kickstarter failure. I don't know, but I don't want to see this just go by the wayside, because I would like to see it happen still. But I don't know. Maybe they're just going to look at this and say, well, obviously there just aren't enough people who want this, so I guess we aren't going to do it. All right, so let's move on. You know, they're for audio files. Let's move on to some audio news. This isn't really audio file news, though. A little tiny thing that has happened on Windows Phone. It didn't get any press. I only found out about this on Reddit, of all places, in the Windows Phone subreddit. If you're used to, you know, if you've been a Windows Phone user for a long, long time, you know that this was true in Windows 8, that one of the big problems with it is the browser, which is obviously really good at, say, playing streaming audio from websites, well, it's never supported playing that audio in the background before. This is especially bothersome on, like, the original Surface RT tablet. So maybe you'd go to SoundCloud, start up a track, start listening to it, and then want to go to do something else, you know, maybe check your mail or something. Well, as soon as the browser wasn't the primary app that was open, your audio stopped. Super, super annoying.
You know, when I read this, I thought, this is crazy. I can't believe it didn't do this. And then I thought back and I'm like, oh yeah, Mobile Safari didn't do this in its first release either.
Well, they've finally fixed that on Windows 10 Mobile. The Edge browser absolutely supports this. I verified it on my Lumia 1520 tonight, went to SoundCloud, played some music, you know, went out to the start screen, did some other stuff. The music just kept playing. It was great. Now, I don't think this works for video, and I think some people will be mad at that if they're trying to use YouTube as their music player, but that's always seemed a little weird to me. I mean, it doesn't make sense for video to keep playing if it's not the app that's open right now, at least in my opinion. In most cases, that doesn't make sense. If you're watching video, yeah, you probably want to watch it, not listen to it.
Yep. Yeah, but I mean, think about all the cases where you on a desktop might open a window in one area of your screen and have a video playing, and then open another window in another area of the screen and do some work.
Yeah, but that's not a phone. This is a phone we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that makes a difference.
I guess. I mean, I can see why people would want to do this. I hope that they provide it at some point in the future.
Yeah. And I could be wrong. I didn't test it. That's just what some of the Reddit commenters said. I didn't test it because it's not something I would do. And I didn't think about it until right this second. But either way, that's at least some good news for you Windows 10 mobile fans out there. For the rest of you Windows 10 fans, mobile or not, but more specifically, you Windows 10 users on the desktop, you've got a new universal app to check out from Pandora. They recently released an update to their Pandora app for Windows 10 Mobile, and it supported Continuum, so it seemed pretty clear that they were going to be releasing a new app for the desktop, and sure enough, they did. It's free, as you might expect. It's everything you would expect in a Pandora app, which maybe isn't that much. But, you know, I played with it tonight. I like it. It's good. I'm not a huge Pandora user, but it did everything that I expected it to do and a little more. I opened up a channel that I hadn't listened to in a while, played a song, skipped it, went to the next one, and it was playing a song I'd never heard of by an artist I'd never heard of. And I noticed you could scroll down and get all of this information about that artist and artists that they're similar to and things like that. And I thought that was a really nice feature to have that you maybe don't get from other services that are similar to this. So
yeah, that's pretty cool.
So check this out. You know, even if you don't plan to use it a lot, go and download this app. It's free. It costs you nothing to do this, but we need to be showing companies out there that we want Windows apps. If you want more Windows apps, you got to use the ones that are out there. So go and do that.
That's a really, really good point. And even though I wouldn't normally be listening to Pandora on my Windows devices, I'll go do that.
Good.
I would ask, do you know if this is a real app or is this just a skin around their web app?
I'm pretty sure that this is a real app. This didn't just look like a web app.
Okay, Because they haven't changed their web app. I mean, it looks the same as it did when we were trying to play it on Media Center.
A while ago.
Yeah. And that's what they have on TiVo, and that's what they have on a lot of platforms. So that I didn't know if maybe they just repackaged it for this. So it's great if they produced a real app. You said it's supported Continuum, so it must be a real app. And I'm also curious, does it have the new channel? I understand that they added a new channel that is essentially a recommendation specifically for you channel.
I don't know. I didn't look that closely. I mean, like I said, I'm not a big Pandora user, so I'm not entirely sure. I basically opened it up, logged in, saw my small list of stations, clicked one, and started listening. So
cool. I'll have to check it out. Yeah. I am a huge Pandora user. If I'm listening to radio, it's Pandora. If I'm listening to specific songs, it's Spotify.
All right. That makes sense. All right. So that's Pandora. Let's move on to some gaming news. So in terms of like normal news things, we've really only got one story to talk about here, and that's an update to the Twitch app on Xbox One. If you're a big Twitch user, you might be excited about these things. Richard and I aren't big Twitch users. Richard, you've probably never used Twitch, and I've used it half a dozen times, maybe. So I actually had to go and look up what some of these features actually meant. So the new version of Twitch on the Xbox One now allows you, if you're a broadcaster, to do what they call hosted mode. And apparently what that is if you're some super popular broadcaster and you need to step away for a little bit or, you know, go outside, you know, something that isn't playing video games in front of people, you can switch your stream to be showing someone else's stream. But it keeps your chat room going so that your audience is still there, still talking to the other people who were watching you. And so that when you come back, hopefully they're all still there, especially if you just stepped away for a few minutes. So the Xbox One app now supports that. Previously, that was only supported on their website, I guess. And they've also updated the UI a little bit to give you the ability to access the streams that you've been to recently more quickly, which makes a ton of sense. That's what most video sites like this tend to do. I can't believe it wasn't there already, but like I said, not a big Twitch user here. So that'll come in handy if you've got, you know, the same few people that you're typically watching a lot. So some nice updates for people who are Twitch hosters and some nice updates for people who are just Twitch viewers. So check that out for sure if you're an Xbox One Twitch person, I guess. Then, of course, there's lots of deals. This is the time of year for deals. In November, especially around Black Friday, we were seeing lots and lots of deals on Xbox One bundles where they knocked $50 off all of the bundles. So like all, you know, there were bundles that started at $299 and included games. Well, it worked really well for Microsoft, so they decided they're just going to keep that going. And from now until December 26th, and this may only be in the US, you're going to be able to continue to get that same $50 discount on all of their bundles. You might remember a few episodes back where we went through and listed all of their bundles. There's a ton of them. There is a bundle for you if you're looking to get an Xbox One right now. And again, some of these are starting at $299 with games. This is on all of them, all the way up to the Elite bundle with the Elite controller and the 1 terabyte SSHD and all that stuff. So definitely check that out if you're looking to get an Xbox One. In the same post where they announced that, they also announced what they're calling the Countdown. This is their big sale for digital games. It's going to run from December 22nd through January 7th. This is a sale that's going to have over 200 games on sale for up to 70% off in some cases. So, you know, if you're a PC gamer and you're used to the big Steam summer sale, it's that, but on Xbox. So save your money because you're going to want to buy some stuff right after Christmas, I think.
Cool. You know, this bundle I had never really looked at the different devices and their design because I have an Xbox One. I don't need another one. I barely use the one I have. This Halo 5 Xbox is hot.
You think so?
Oh, I love it. Huh. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, you know, I guess that one isn't too bad. That gray color is nice. You know, they've got a Forza bundle that seems like one that I should love, and it's blue, but it's still just not one that I'm really in love with either. And unlike you, I would like another Xbox One, because then I could leave that one hooked up to my TV and buy another one and hook it up to my computer monitor and play Xbox anytime I want without anybody wanting to watch TV on the TV instead. So, but that's not going to happen. I'm not dropping another $300 or any price on another Xbox One right now.
Yeah, no.
So I mentioned the sale that starts December 22nd. You don't have to wait that long for sales because there's this week's deals with gold and this week's spotlight sale, and there's a couple of good games in this one. This week's sale includes Battlefront. Yes, Star Wars Battlefront. This game just came out last month. It came out like the third week of November, maybe the second week of November. It's not been out for very long. It's a good first-person shooter. It's based on Star Wars, and it is gorgeous. It is one of the best-looking games I've ever played. And you can get it right now for $40. This game just came out, and you can get it for $40. That's pretty awesome. They've also got...
I'm sorry. I should be more excited.
You should be. Can you redo that? Can you give me some excitement here?
Oh, that's awesome.
Richard, it's a game you could buy and never play.
Right.
Like all the rest of the games that you get.
Hey, now.
Another interesting one that's on sale, Divinity Original Sin, the Enhanced Edition. This was a pretty popular PC-based RPG that was released. I believe the original version came out last year, and then this Enhanced Edition came out this year, launched first on consoles. It can now be had for only $36. It was apparently a pretty popular RPG. It was one that I hadn't really heard of until it was announced for the Xbox One, but it looks interesting. So that's definitely worth checking out if you're interested. And then, of course, I mean, discounts and sales are nice, but nothing beats free. And we're free. Now in the second half of the month. So an update on our games with gold for December.
This is so confusing.
It's always so confusing.
We have Van Helsing still available, right?
Correct.
We have Thief now available because it's the second half of the month, and that'll go into the first half of January for some reason.
Yep. Those are both on Xbox One.
Castle Storm is still available. Sacred 3 on 360 is available now till the end of the month. And Operation Flashpoint, Dragon Rising, is available now until the end of the month.
So the only thing you messed up there is Castle Storm. Castle Storm is no longer available.
Oh, see? I'm so confused. I hate this.
I know. It's so confusing and crazy. But you're absolutely right about Sacred 3 and Operation Flashpoint. Those are free through the end of the month for 360. But again, as a reminder, all of those 360 games through Games with Gold are available through backwards compatibility. So all of these games can be played on your Xbox One. So download them and play them, or make like Richard and download them and never play them.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
Oh, man.
So let's move on to some more happy news. A few weeks ago, we had talked about Microsoft's change to their OneDrive storage policy. And man, did this get us and so many other people angry. They're taking away our free storage. We had those 15 gig free promos for having our camera rolls on our phone automatically backing up to OneDrive.
And that was the thing that was particularly offensive, because that was already a fairly small amount. We're not talking about like unlimited storage. We're talking about a fixed small amount.
Well, it's not that small compared to some of the other. I mean, the Dropbox only gives you like 2 gigs for free.
Right. So what gave OneDrive a leg up? We reported on this 2 years ago when this stuff came out. It had a different name then, but The point was that they had a better offering than everybody else, even at a cap at a 15. This was way before they were offering plans that were unlimited.
Right. And then a year or so ago, they gave a bunch of people who had been with OneDrive for a long time another 15 gig bonus. So that's probably a lot of our listeners. So a lot of our listeners had over 30 gigs of free storage. And then we announced, you know, a few weeks ago that they're getting rid of all of that and leaving you with, what was it, 5 gigs?
Five.
Yeah.
That's the same as Dropbox.
Yeah. It's pathetic.
Which, for the record, is kind of like, you know, trying to remain relevant right now.
Right. Well, fortunately, they've reconsidered. And the important thing here is, if you had those two 15 gig bonus offerings, you can keep them, but you have to actually do a tiny amount of work to keep it. We're going to have a link for this.
Click a button.
Yes, you have to click a button. That's about it. You don't have to do much more than that, but you do have to click a link. We'll have the link in our show notes, of course. Go and do this, and you guarantee that you'll keep your extra storage. So that's good. There are also, you know, some concessions in here about what they're doing for Office 365 users and all that. We won't get into all those details. You can go and read the news yourself if that's interesting to you. But I think the thing that most people care about is that 15 gig bonus for their camera roll and that other 15 gig bonus if they had that too. So good news there. Make sure you go and click this. And you have to click this soon. I think you have to do this by January something. I should click this link and find out. I'm not quickly seeing it, but you got to do it soon. Don't dilly-dally on this. You don't want to give up 30 gigs of free online storage because you forgot to click a link. It's really that simple. Just go and
just
do this.
Do it.
Do it right now.
Go do it.
If you're driving, pull over, click the link, and go do this.
Don't do this while you're driving.
Correct. Pull over first.
All right. Now, Josh, I know you don't like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. How is this anything but Microsoft backpedaling on a bad decision?
Oh, it's absolutely Microsoft backpedaling on a bad decision.
Okay, just so we're clear there.
Yep. It is. I mean, you can still use the other argument that I've used in the cases that I know that you're referring to, and that it's...
They're listening to their users.
Microsoft is listening to their users.
Yeah, they after they make a dumb decision.
Sure. But at least they're listening to their users to our benefit.
That's true.
So is it backpedaling? Yes. Does it benefit us? Yes. And are they backpedaling because we really wanted them to? Probably at least partially, yes.
Oh, I think they are. I mean, I don't think they had any clue how much this was going to outrage people. How this got out of the conference room, I just don't understand.
No.
I really don't.
I don't either. But I'm just happy that it's still there.
Yes. All right. Well, that's it for Microsoft News. So one quick industry news story. I found a new app that I'm pretty happy about. And this may sound very familiar. Imagine if you had an Android or an iOS device that had all of these over-the-top services on it, and you wanted one place to go to find out what you could go watch, what's available, browse through content, search for content, and it would just take you to the app where you can get that content for free. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It does sound awesome. It sounds like things we've had before.
Yeah. We talked about an app called Viewdini a few years ago. Verizon released this, and it lasted, I think, maybe a year. Lesson learned, don't use provider-offered services. Okay, but anyway, Yahoo is now doing the same thing. Now, Yahoo, you may know, they actually do search. This is what they do. They kind of have an interest in discovering and cataloging the content on the web. And they have video services. So they have an interest in driving people to their content too. So I think this has, assuming Yahoo survives, legs on it. I think this is something that will last a while. And it's really useful because you know, if you missed an episode of something, you could go to Where to Watch, or you could go to Can I Stream It, or one of those other services. But they often don't have all of the different services where you could possibly get something, like all of the different network apps that might be on your device. So this is a good way to do it. And then I love this because I think one of the biggest problems we have with over-the-top content, I think one of the biggest problems we have with content today is discovery. It's so complicated. And I think that if someone could figure out how to mix this with, oh, and what content do I already own?
Oh, geez.
Either on services like Vudu or on services like iTunes or whatever else, you know,
or my Plex server.
Or in your Plex library, if you could get one place to discover all the stuff freely available to you, that is the killer app. Nobody's done it.
Yeah, that would be really, really hard.
Right.
Really hard.
That is the discovery problem that everybody is trying to figure out how to solve, and nobody's done it yet.
Yeah.
So this gets pretty close.
Cool. As long as you're not a Windows user.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a Windows user, this isn't going to help you. However, you know, you never know. I mean, we could maybe see something like this on Windows 10, maybe not mobile.
Or, I don't know, Yahoo's still a website, isn't it? Couldn't they make this available on their website?
Yeah, possibly. Wait, did you just listen to Court Killers?
Well, I did. Did they say that?
That was Tom's argument ago. Exactly. Oh, okay. He's like, well, if I were going to do this, I'd want to be able to look this stuff up if I'm on my laptop. Why don't they just do it on the web? And I think Brian's answer was right on point, is that you have fixed resources. You have to figure out where you're going to spend your development money. And the bang for the buck these days is to build apps. And there, the bang for the buck is mobile for Android and for iOS right now.
Yep. No, I completely agree. My particular use case for these types of services is always while I'm sitting at my computer, though, because 90% of the time when someone tells me about a show and I want to see if I can stream it, it's during our after show of this podcast, and I'm trying to find out if I can watch something without paying even more money. So I don't want to do this on my phone. I actually do want to use this on my computer.
Yeah. No, I get it. Maybe someday. All right. Well, that is it for the news. So let's talk a little bit about what we've been up to in our entertainment centers. And 2 weeks went by. I spent a lot of time watching television.
Yeah, you did. A whole lot of television. Did you do anything but watch television?
I did. I tried to listen to some music. So we talked on Home On about how Apple Music is now available on Sonos. So I'm trying to decide, do I want to resubscribe to Apple Music? Because I already subscribed to Spotify, and that's on Sonos. So do I really want to subscribe to Apple Music? The advantages for me as an iOS user are pretty nice because I can just do stuff like I can just say to my phone, play music from Seal or play the latest album from such and such. And it just does it. And that's pretty awesome. But one of the big advantages of Apple Music, and this is not a part of the pay program, but I think you would have to be a part of the paid program to get this on Sonos, is their Beats 1 station that they have available. So I figured, all right, you know what? I haven't listened to Beats 1 in a couple of months. I'll give it a try again. I turned on Beats 1. They're playing hip hop. I turned it off. I went back to Spotify. Not my thing. Just not my thing. So I don't know. I still have to think about this. I haven't decided.
It doesn't sound like there's enough value there to pay for that when you're already paying for Spotify.
Right. That's the real trick.
And you've already got all your playlists set up in Spotify. You don't want to do that.
What I want is, and this is the only real advantage, is that Siri integration. Just to be able to say, play a song, or to be able to say, play an artist or an album. And I could do it in my kitchen now. I could just stand in my kitchen and say, hey, play this.
Right.
And it happened. That's what I wanted Xbox One to always be able to do.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? If only we had these devices that had mics and cameras that were always on.
Right. It'd be like living in the future.
All right. Well, meanwhile, I'm getting ready to see Star Wars. I might even be seeing Star Wars on Monday night. So I'm pretty excited about that.
I'm seeing Star Wars on Monday also.
There you go. All right. Well, you and I ended up talking about maybe watching the old Star Wars movies. So I started doing that and I didn't get very far. But I did watch episode one.
Did you start with one?
I decided I want to watch them chronologically.
Okay.
Because I want to see how they flow chronologically. I want to see if I get to four and all of a sudden think, wait a minute, that's not what they set up back in one or whatever, you know? Anyway, so I enjoyed it. You know, it's fluff, but I enjoyed it. I really forgot how cool the robot army was, or the droid army. Those are awesome. So then lots of TV. All right. Fargo and Amazing Race both had their season finales. They ended in a very satisfying way. Both of them ended in a very satisfying way. And I didn't know what to expect from either. So that was pretty cool. Daredevil and Man in the High Castle. I'm still making progress on those, moving through those fairly slowly, but I'm still enjoying those a lot. Flash, Arrow, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are giving me my superhero fix every couple of weeks, and they now have their mid-season finales. If I saw this right, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't coming back until like March.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what that's all about. And then the new season of Amazon's 5 Emmy-winning series Transparent is now available on Amazon Prime. So I watched the season premiere of that, which was pretty cool. And then if you're into total dysfunction of a family at the ideal scenario for family dysfunction, a wedding, this is the episode. And then I also watched the first half of the 2-hour pilot for The Expanse. And Josh, I thought you were hoping to watch this too. Have you seen this yet?
I've not seen it. I didn't learn about it until yesterday, unless it was one of those shows that we had talked about on our like September-ish episode where we were talking about all the things that were coming out.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I don't remember knowing about this until about 2 weeks ago. And I found it because almost all of the video services are offering the first half of the pilot as a free episode to download.
Oh.
So I downloaded it on iTunes and watched it there. And I'm trying to figure out after the first half of the pilot episode how there's even a series. Like, so much changes and happens within the first half of this episode that I don't understand how everything they set up still goes on the way they set it up. So this, I'll be really curious to get your thoughts on this. I was actually debating, do I even, you know, like 45 minutes in, I'm like, I don't know. This doesn't really have me. I don't know if I'm going to watch it again. And then it got to the end and I'm like, well, okay, I have to watch the second half. So then also Homeland is going strong. And I think the season finale for that is next week. Looking forward to that. They've had a really, really good season this year. And that's it for my TV watching, but there's been a lot of it. And then this week, I think, is my week for a podcast pick since you took it from me last time when I was supposed to do it. So my pick this week is a new show from Gimlet Media. These are the folks who brought us Startup, which started really strong. I wasn't really terribly fond of the second season, but the first season was really good. Reply All, which I'm hot on cold on, and Mystery Show, which somehow got the nod for Best Podcast of the Year from iTunes. I hate it, but whatever. They have a new show called Surprisingly Awesome, and like reply all. What I really like about it is I learn something every episode. And that to me is value. So this is a show that is 5 episodes in right now. The episode that hit right now, today, the day that we're recording, is an episode about interest rates. Very timely. And they talk about why interest rates are important and how interest rates came to be. So give it a try if you're interested in it. It sounds kind of strange, but the whole concept is that they bring up a topic and there are 2 guys and one of them tries to convince the other one that this otherwise benign concept is in fact surprisingly awesome. So that is what's going on in my entertainment center. How about you, Josh?
So not nearly as much in terms of TV. In fact, no TV for me. I've been trying to watch Star Wars also, although I'm trying to watch them in the correct order.
Hey now.
Which is the machete order. Now, what I've realized is that's not going to happen. I don't have the time. So I started at 4, watched all of 4, started 5. I'm 3/4 of the way through 5. So at this point, I'm not going to go back and watch 2 and 3. That's the proper machete order, I believe. I'm just going to skip to 6 and be done and hopefully get all that done before Monday when I go to see Star Wars. You know, there's a problem, Richard, with you and I both going to see Star Wars on Monday.
It means that we're going to want to talk about it on Tuesday?
No, that's not the problem. The problem is
that we won't have our usual Monday night call?
Nope, that's not it either.
Oh.
The problem is that you and I aren't going to be able to be on social media or the internet like at all for the whole weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hear that people are already spoiling it for like folks that went to the premiere are already spoiling it, which is just friggin' obnoxious because you are important enough to get in there and you're intentionally going out in the world and spoiling it. What the hell?
Yeah, that's pretty crappy. You know, so I'm not this like rabid diehard Star Wars fan. So this might sound like a dumb question, but hasn't this story been written for a long time? Shouldn't some people like the super diehards already know the story of episode 7?
How?
I don't know. I guess there probably weren't books, I guess. I don't know.
Well, there have been tons of books, but for the most part, I don't believe that most of the books are canon. So I think this is all new stuff.
Okay. All right. So I'm excited. I'm not going bonkers like everybody else, but I don't want it spoiled. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I didn't think of that. All right. Well, that's all right. I have tons to do over the weekend anyway.
All right. So you had mentioned The Expanse. Yeah. I didn't find out about this till yesterday, it was yesterday, I think. Either way, I missed the first night's recording. Fortunately, Sci-Fi is airing episode 1 or the first half of episode 1 again later this week. So I set up my media center to record that and the second half, which I think is tonight or whatever night that I set up the series recording. Doesn't matter if you're not listening live anyway. Because that definitely looks interesting to me. And then while I actually have a quick musical thing to mention here. While I was checking out the Pandora app earlier tonight, I put on my Mumford & Sons playlist or radio station or whatever the heck Pandora calls them, and it played a Mumford song. I skipped it, went to the next song, and heard a song I had never heard of before, and it was really good. It was by a band I had also never heard of before, and the band was called Milky Chance, which is a really, really weird band name.
That is a really weird name of anything.
So I just wanted to kind of pass this along. They don't really sound that much like Mumford to me. And the Spotify description started with German duo Milky Chance makes folk, reggae, and electronica influenced pop music. It's not that poppy, but it's definitely a mix of all of that kind of stuff. I really liked it. Check it out. See if you like it. Again, they're called Milky Chance.
Interesting. When you get those recommendations, I'm always curious to look at, and I don't even know if Pandora still does this, but you know, Pandora is built upon this concept of the Music Genome Project, where there's 40 some attributes that can be identified for pretty much any musical element out there. And they categorize every song by these 40 some factors. And I'm always curious, what is it about this that made it hit my list? Like, is there something that I like? And it's always crazy stuff, like soulful duos with two men or something, like how they come up with these particular types of attributes is amazing.
Huh. Very interesting. Yeah. So I'm gonna give them more of a listen. But we've got a music minute from Marcus to share with everybody else. And you know, this week he doesn't have music picks specifically for us. It's a different kind of music minute for Marcus, but I think you're all gonna enjoy this one. So let's toss it over to Marcus.
Hey everybody, this is Marcus. For this week's Music Minute, I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about a concept called the guilty pleasure. Now, for some of us, music powers our day. It helps us get up in the morning, get work done, relax, get fired up. Music has plenty of purpose, which is why I could never fully subscribe to the idea of the guilty pleasure. Now, I know it's fun to think that there are songs, albums, artists in our collection that if people found out, we'd be totally embarrassed. I get that. But at the same time, we should be free and confident to embrace that music. For example, I have no problem telling you that in my collection right now are songs by Iggy Azalea, Justin Bieber, and the like. Heck, I even have music by Heidi Montag and Kim Kardashian. If you don't know who Heidi Montag is, look her up. That might be embarrassing for some people to admit, but why be ashamed that you listen or even continue to listen to these songs? I always have a good time driving down the freeway belting out one of Nickelback's really cool drinking songs. Now, I remember back with Zune and their Zune Social, where Zune would keep track of the plays that people accumulated and would post to their Zune profile the latest that was heard. There were countless posts in the forums of people coming and explaining why certain artists appeared in their account. Now, the reasoning was valid, I'm sure, but I didn't like that it was rooted in embarrassment, that the people felt like I had to come in and easily, quickly explain why these certain songs appeared in my profile. Well, to see, no one should care what you listen to. No one should judge what you decide to pump through your headphones or speakers. No one. See, we all have to go through the same 24 hours. We all have to make time for work, family, gaming, culture, cooking, adult duties, all the things that stretch us end to end. If there's music out there, say like Enya or those Nickelback drinking songs or even Avril Lavigne, that gets you through your day, that gives you a sense of hope, that gives you a chance to calm down, that lowers your stress levels, you embrace that. You enjoy that. Now, there's a saying that goes, dance if no one is watching. I've always said, if they're watching, you just keep dancing. If that morphs into listen like no one can hear, then I say, listen like everyone can hear. If you want to keep your guilty pleasures a secret, again, I understand that and I won't stop you. But what I will say is that you should never feel ashamed for it. You should never feel less sophisticated of a listener for it. You should not do that to yourself. Let your music be your soundtrack. Be guilty of enjoying that music. Be not guilty of what that music happens to be. This is Marcus with the Music Minute. I will see you guys next time.
All right, Richard. So he's got some pretty big picks out there for his guilty pleasures. Justin Bieber, Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, I'm puzzled by that one. But you know, everybody picks on Nickelback. I feel so bad for Nickelback. They're not that bad. Come on.
They're not really that bad. They just make a whole bunch of songs that all sound alike.
They do all sound alike. That is true.
Yeah. So in the spirit of sticking with Marcus and not being ashamed of the music that we listen to, I think it's only right that we should also share some of our musical guilty pleasures. You want to go first?
Yeah. You know, there's only one that I can think of because I'm really not, there's probably two. Okay. I'm probably more embarrassed by that. Okay. Let's go with that first. So I pretty much like everything the Backstreet Boys have ever done.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this is a weird way of putting this, but I would say that my popular guilty pleasure is, and I know that we've talked about this in the past, Taylor Swift. I think her last couple albums, in fact, I have every album she's ever put out, including her first country album before she became kind of like a pop sensation.
Yeah. So for me, Taylor Swift was the first one that came to mind also. That's definitely the easiest one for me. And I'm trying to look through Spotify playlist and my groove selection to see what else really falls into this category for me, but I'm struggling to find anything. I mean, there were things that I liked when I was much younger that I would be kind of embarrassed by if I still liked them, but I don't. Like when I was in junior high, I was a huge Boys to Men fan, but I'm not anymore. Like
right.
I wouldn't really enjoy that anymore. So Taylor Swift has got to be the biggest one for me. I guess I'm either I am just really proud of the music that I listen to already, or I just don't listen to many things that most people would find embarrassing for a 34-year-old dude to be listening to.
All right. Well, I want to turn this around. I want to hear from the listeners. I want to hear what our listeners' guilty pleasures are. Let us know. And you can send us tweets. You can send us email. But let us know what you hate admitting that you listen to. And we'll read some of our favorites without revealing who in our next episode.
Cool. All right. So we got a couple of announcements to make before we get out of here.
Yeah, two quick ones. So as a lot of people know, our show Home On is actually part of a third-party network of shows. It's a part of technology.fm. And that is a curated collection of shows that industry analyst Michael Wolff has put together of what he believes are some of the best tech shows in the industry right now. And we had a collaborative fireside chat that we recorded this week, and it'll probably be out next week in my feed for Home On, in Mike's feed for the Smart Home Show, and in Jason and Seth's feed for Home Tech FM. So if you happen to listen to all of those, you probably don't want to listen to it three times, but it was a really great episode where we talk about what we thought the top news stories were and stuff like that. And that's not something that we really did on Home On this year. So I hope people will enjoy it. It'll be out in our episode feed, like I said, sometime next week. And then I think we mentioned this before. We pretty much do this every year. We're going to CES. And I'm not going to be accompanied by you this time. I'm kind of bummed by that.
I'm really bummed by that.
So that doesn't mean that we're not going to have lots of good information. We're going to be posting about the things that are interesting us. And Josh is still going to be helping with that. We're going to get information out there for everybody. We probably will record an episode of something out there. Not quite sure what yet. We have to figure out the logistics of that, actually. And this week, the schedule's a little bit different than usual, so it's going to make it harder for us to do the normal episode that we would do while we're out there. So we'll figure that out. But if you're going to be at CES and you'd be interested in meeting up, let us know. Again, tweet us at DigiMediaZone or send a message to me, Richard Gunther, on Twitter, or richard@thedigitalmediazone.com. And we'd love to try and carve some time out to meet you.
Absolutely. All right. So that's going to do it for this week. Just to quickly recap all the ways that you can get a hold of us. Twitter, Richard just mentioned, he's at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. Website's at DigiMediaZone. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/thedmz. We're on Google Plus. You can send us messages via email at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, or just use the contact form where that's on the website. From there, you can actually select individual people if you just want to email one of us, or if you send it to entertainment20, it goes to both of us, that sort of thing. You should also check out some of our other podcasts. You know, Richard just mentioned Home On normally covers the latest home automation and control news. When's that episode going to be out that I did with you?
Yeah, the episode that we did together, I'm trying to get it out this week. This is a crazy week for me because I'm off next week for the holidays. I am slammed at work, but I'm trying to get that out before the end of the week. And we talk about things that we would recommend getting people for whatever. Whatever you celebrate, we want you to, you know, enjoy it and here are some gift ideas for you. We also talk about some things that we want the companies in the industry to get on right now. So it's an interesting episode. We had a lot of fun. I think you'll enjoy it. And then after that, I am thrilled to say that I'm joined by CNET's executive editor, Rich Brown, and we're taking a look at what's coming up ahead at CES.
Very cool. All right, well, you can find all of those podcasts on iTunes and Pocket Cast and Stitcher Radio and TuneIn Radio, and soon on Google Play. Pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find us. And if you like our shows, the best thing you can do to help us out and to show your appreciation for our shows is to leave us a rating or a review on iTunes or anywhere that you're getting these podcasts. It helps us out a lot, and we really appreciate it. Then, if you just want to have fun and hang out with us while we're recording these shows, you can do that because we record them live. It's typically Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That wasn't the case this week, so you're going to want to watch our Twitter feeds to find out exactly when we record, but it's typically Tuesday or Wednesday nights around 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and you can listen to us while we're recording it and talk to us via the chat room. It's a lot of fun and a great way to share information in real time. But that's going to do it for episode 352. I'm Josh Pollard. He's Richard Gunther. And we'll be back next time for episode 353. Until then, adios.
Goodbye.